the Ro Khan Show with me, Anna DeBlantis. Richard Roper in studio today as Ro is off today. And we're reviewing some movies for this weekend, starting with one that's developed a lot of buzz, and it's Rocket Man.
Rocket Man.
And not the Kim Jong-un, the other one.
Not Little Rocket Man, the original Rocket Man. And I'm sure next week when Ro is back, we'll be able to talk about this at length, because as everybody knows, his regular listener, he likes to judge the movies on the YouTube trailers or the clips.
It's a great trailer,
He was my plus one for the screening for this, Anna. I took Ro to the actual screening. Yeah, and you know, he really does have an encyclopedic knowledge of and appreciation of Elton John. And not that it's always about getting things right factually, but he did say right after me, because, man, they got so many great details right. So Taron Egerton, who is in the Secret Service, Kingsman, Golden Circle movies, and played Eddie the Eagle. Actually played Eddie the Eagle in a film. The guy that made the British ski jumping team and could go 7 feet. He's a terrific actor. In unusual casting. He's not a huge star, but maybe that's better. He definitely disappears into the role of Elton John. So Rocket Man is the story of Elton John. Here's what I loved about this movie, Anna. Unlike Bohemian Rhapsody, which was such a straightforward PG-13 watered down biopic, this is R-rated as it should be, but it's also very stylized. Instead of just here's what happened, then this happened, then this happened, the songs of Elton John, the amazing catalog Elton John and Bernie Taupin have, they use various songs to kind of illustrate what's happening in his life.
Ooh.
And yes, that means sometimes a song will appear well before it actually appeared in real life. So, for example, in a flashback scene, we see, you know, Elton John grew up as Reginald Dwight in a hardscrabble neighborhood in England. His father was a military man who literally told him that love is something he wasn't capable of. His mother was pretty tough, too. His grandmother, you know, was the only real love in the family. So in an early scene here, this is, you know, Elton John, he's just thinking about changing his name. He's in a honky-tonk in London in a flashback sequence, but they use the song Saturday Night All Right for Fighting, which really didn't come out for almost 10 years later. But here's Taron Egerton. And by the way, the difference between him and Rami Malek, too, here is he's actually playing the piano, some help with the instrumentals, but singing. He's actually singing, not just lip syncing. So here's Taron Egerton as Elton John in Rocket Man. Now, what I like there is it's not an imitation. There are some numbers, there's a moment where he sits down and sings Your Song at the family piano, and it's just stunning and beautiful, and he sounds like Elton John. Other times, you don't need to. You know, Jimmy Fox didn't sound exactly like Ray Charles. Joaquin Phoenix, you know, Johnny Cash. Yes, they did, you know, we're talking about great performances there.
Sure.
But I love the fact that this has got, I actually likened it a little bit to a movie called All That Jazz. And if people haven't seen that, they should see that, where the story is told through music. It's almost like a Broadway musical come to life, but then you've got the special effects and everything. And Bryce Dallas Howard, the wonderful actress, plays Elton John, Reginald Dwight's mother. She ages from 22 to 75 in the movie. And we're going to talk with her tomorrow.
I can't wait. She's one of my favorite actresses.
She's just so great.
I like her.
That Howard family, they're nothing but trouble, right? Ron Howard, Rance
Howard,
Bryce Dallas
Howard.
They figured
a thing or two out. And they seem genuinely nice people, too. I'm just
hope that absolutely
that's the case.
And so I'm giving it 3.5 stars is the rating for Rocket Man. It's definitely one of the best pictures of the year. I think it's superior to Bohemian Rhapsody on every single level. And I also celebrate the filmmakers and give them credit. You know, they talk a lot about Elton John, Reginald Dwight becoming Elton John, and Elton John coming to terms with his sexuality. And there's actually a love scene in this movie that looks like a million other love scenes you see in films, except for it's two men. And guess what? The theater didn't fall apart.
You're seeing more and more people saying that this is a superior product than Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. Bohemian Rhapsody was an Oscar contention. Rami Malek won the Oscar.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, do you see that meaning that they automatically are going to be talking Oscars for this?
You know,
the comparisons are everywhere already.
And you know what? I try to shy away from comparing, you know, different movies, even though the Oscars do. So there's nothing wrong with it. But in this case, I'm doing it a lot because obviously the similarity of the subject matter is such, and their arcs, and some of their personal life stuff, and their family lives, and the contribution. They're both incredible, legendary, musicians and performers. And again, this film to me is just more authentic. It's so, you know, similar. There's actually a character who's a manager of Elton John in this movie. There's a different actor who plays that character in the Bohemian Rhapsody movie because he was a manager to both Queen and Elton.
Oh,
and he's
wow.
not even come off well in either one of those movies. So there you go.
Yeah.
And I think the problem, Justin and Anna, is that Bohemian Rhapsody just came out last year. And I know this is ridiculous because if it's a great performance, it should get recognized. So I don't know if it's going to get the Oscar love, even though, to me, from everything, from the editing to the costumes to the special effects to the music to the performance, every single element of filmmaking from the moment, the craft services, I bet, were better on this film. It's superior in every way. It's the movie Bohemian Rhapsody should have been. So I really hope people see it. Obviously, Elton John has a huge fan base.
He does.
But I don't know. I think it'll do well. I don't think it's going to get the worldwide box office that Bohemian
has. He come out to speak about it yet?
Yes.
Elton, John?
Elton and
I know he's at the premiere.
His lyricist, Bernie Taupin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not like they weren't the producers on this or anything, but obviously they used the music. They had the rights to do that. And both Elton and Bernie Taupin have said they just absolutely adore and love this film. And I think Taryn Egerton and Elton John even did a number or two together at the London premiere. So that's pretty cool.
Karen Egerton said in interviews, the only thing that Elton John told me is don't try to act and sound like him. And he said that was so hard because you're not going to try to be the parody of him or the duplicate exactly what he does. You want to give the feeling of him.
And
like he's pulled it off.
And I do give there's some really cool, kind of dreamlike sequences. But then they also do, Elton John famously came to the Troubadour in Los Angeles in 1970. And played these sold-out shows that turned him from a star into an American superstar. And they recreate that. And if you're an Elton John fan, you'll remember certain iconic outfits. Like the sunglasses. There's more sunglasses and prescription in this movie than anything. But you see the famous... Remember when he wore the Dodgers number one spangly uniform for Dodger Stadium?
Oh,
and they show
best.
That here. But then there's a lot of other trippy things. And they definitely get into his issues with, depression and addiction. And, narcissism and everything else that the real Elton John went through.
The Oscar goes to Elton John for best eyewear.
If they had that category, it was like, oh my gosh. I love the attention to detail. And again, the music is just used, I think, in a pitch perfect way.
I'm trying to think, do millennials know a lot of Elton John music? It seems like he spans so many generations. And obviously, it's
absolutely
such legendary music that it survived the test of time.
And, obviously, you go back to the 90s and, films like Wayne's World that, first of all, Lion We Will Rock King. You and We Are the Champions.
Wait, say it again. You said Lion King?
Lion King.
Exactly where I was going, Lauren. If you think of Wayne's World, but then you hear, Elton John with, "Can you feel the love tonight?" I think, it's just, I don't know if the interest is there. I think it's going to do well. It's such a daunting task to play a living legend.
Absolutely. Very cool.
Taryn Egerton is definitely up to the task. This film, for all its style and great look and music, if the lead performance doesn't work, you're sunk.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the one thing, everybody agreed, and I agree, Rami Malek was really, really strong as Freddie Mercury.
But didn't sing, and Taryn Egerton does.
Did not
sing,
and Taryn does.
What a cool dimension to
this new
film.
In a much better movie.
3.5 stars for that one from Richard Roper, so go see that one. You want to take a break here? Then we have two others, right?
We've got The Tomorrow Man with the great John Lithgow and Blythe Danner, and then, finally, a movie about Godzilla. We've been waiting forever for that.
How many of those have we seen?
It's Godzilla.
35.
Elton John pieces in this one, Rich.
Yeah. What's
does
that?
Does he borrow any lines from Elton John?
Is there
Godzilla?
Any Elton John?
Does he dress like him?
Yeah,
with some flashy glasses in this
Godzilla
one?
Godzilla made the right choice. He didn't try to imitate Godzilla.
Good.
He just captures the essence of the big lizard in the water.
Okay. Well, we can't wait for that. So we're going to check in with Kim Gordon, see what's coming up top of the hour in the WGN Radio News.
While Illinois gets ready to pass recreational marijuana, one state says they have way too much.
The Roe Khan Show with me, Anna DeVlantis, Justin Hoffman, and Richard Roper are in the studio this afternoon. And we were talking movies with Richard Roper. 3.5 stars for
Rocketman.
Rocketman.
Check it out at the theaters. You really will love it. If you go to a theater, it's got beautiful sound and everything. I think you'll dig the soundtrack. We also have The Tomorrow Man. Okay. And, you guys, first of all, it's great to see a movie with John Lithgow and Blythe Danner as the leads. You know, yeah. You just don't see a lot of movies about a couple. And so here's the setup here. It's set in an unidentified town in the Midwest. John Lithgow plays a divorcee. Blythe Danner is a... Well, I don't want to give too much about their backstories. Let's say they're both available. He's essentially one of those survivalist conspiracy theorist guys. Not so much politically, but he just thinks the end is at hand. So he's got a full shelter stocked with batteries and bottled water and all that stuff. He thinks, you know, he's on the net, on the internet, chatting with people that have like-minded feelings. And she's kind of a hoarder. So they're both very eccentric and... they kind of find each other. Do we have a clip from The Tomorrow Man? Let's hear John Lithgow and the great Blythe Danner together.
You know what you said before about being on the wrong side of 60? To me, I don't think there's a wrong side of 60.
You know, I don't mind telling you that. I think you've got a real nose for this game. The way people look at things, it's all in the eyes. What kind of tuna do you prefer, generally speaking?
I guess Charlie?
Starkist, me too. Paper products?
Paper products?
Yeah, you know, toilet paper. It's important.
Oh, well, I don't really think about it. I just squeeze them.
Right. Yeah, it's all about not making things harder than they have to be. Batteries?
I know this one. Copper top.
Generic on that one, as far as I'm concerned. As long as it's alkaline. That's key.
You seem to know a lot about stuff.
Well, I do. Because I care.
I can see that.
Wow. So, you know, if you saw this lovely, you know, older couple across the hall, the diner across the aisle, you'd think, oh, what a lovely conversation. But they're all talking, everything he's talking about is how he stocks his shelter because he thinks the world's coming to an end. And it's a really intriguing premise, and then the rails go off. And I don't want to say what happens, but the ending really ticked me off with this film. I love the two actors, but I'm giving The Tomorrow Man 2 stars, not recommending it. And it's a real shame because films like that, this, you know, are few and far between. Great actors, people that they don't
amazing
know.
Amazing actors.
Blythe Danner is Gwyneth Paltrow's mother, and she's been acting for what, Justin, since the 70s, right?
I don't know. Sure.
I mean, long. Yeah, just say yes.
Justin, when
I say,
no.
I won't set you up here if it's Ro and Mike, but like, yeah. So, yes, that's
Danner,
right.
I'm like, oh, geez,
but yeah, and Blythe Danner's
71?
Wonderful.
She is. She's so good. Meet the Parents, who's even good, and I love her.
She could do, yeah, she could do everything.
Comedy, everything.
But just kind of off the rails.
What
now,
a
the
waste.
movie that's going to make the most money is Godzilla King of the Monsters, which is sort of a spoiler alert in the title, quite frankly.
Is
this
King
is
of
the third. Yeah, I did one of those Twitter polls yesterday, guys, the day before, and I said which of these three franchises has the most entries, and I put the Bond films, Godzilla, and X-Men, and it was a very close race, but most people picked the Bond films. The 25th one is coming out. The next will be the 25th one. There have actually been 35 Godzilla films, obviously, you know, going back to
count
the 50s.
Those, yeah.
They keep trying to redo this. The films do well. There was a 2014 one with Bryan Cranston that did very well. It was pretty well made. This is horrible, this one, Godzilla King of the Monsters. We're going to cut right to it.
But it's still going to do well.
It's going to do well. So the setup here is it's 5 years after the events of the 2014 film. Now we know there are more than just... Godzilla's not the only one. Turns out there are all these ancient beasts that have been in this dormant kind of, you know, state for thousands of years, but the world is righting itself because man is wrecking the planet. So they're all now starting to resurface. And Godzilla, of course, according to this timeline, at least is kind of fighting for good. I don't know how Godzilla knows he's on the human side because he'll chomp a human once in a while as well. But then you got Mothra and all these other characters. And it's amazing. The cast in this movie is amazing. There's about 15... wonderful actors, you know, Ken Watanabe and Kyle Chandler and Bradley Whitford will show up. And they're all, I bet you they avoided eye contact during like lunch breaks and stuff.
We're just doing this for the dough.
Movie. But if we do have in the two hour and 8 minute movie, I think it is, we did find the 30 seconds of dialogue in the film.
Good.
Hold your fire. We don't know if he'll attack.
Well, he will if you keep those guns on him.
Do it.
What's with the light show?
It's an intimidation display.
Consider us very intimidated.
I like the part where they whisper so Godzilla can't hear them there. Yeah. And it's like every one of these movies where they have the beast like kind of in a state of suspended animation. And there's a bunch of henchmen around with like AK-47s and other, you know, automatic weapons. And then they're all shocked when the beast comes to life and their weapons are useless against the powers of
but
the 70-foot fire-breathing monster that could eat Daenerys' dragons for kibbles, you know? So, you know, and we get all that. People have to behave like idiots, but this is just so stupid. And then if you were disturbed by the darkness in that one battle sequence in Game of Thrones, you're going to go nuts at how dark this movie is.
Really?
And they also cut it. It's edited in a way like it's a Bourne film. All these quick close-ups of Godzilla and Mothra and the rest of them.
You mentioned the Bond films, and they're obviously, you know, there's so much love for that series. Is there that much love for Godzilla? It feels like, there were so many campy films in the 50s and 60s, and you love that.
Yeah.
As a blockbuster coming out?
You know, Justin, that's a great question, because I didn't think there was. I am wrong from what I've, you know, been hearing from millennials in the film Twitter and that, you know, they call this the monster verse. There's a whole thing where Kong, the next movie is going to be Kong from Skull Island, exists in the same world. So it's not the Marvel universe, but the Monsterverse. And a lot of the youngsters, I think the 2014 film, which was a huge hit, it resonated in a way. And I'm giving this movie 1.5 stars.
One,
so you can tell I'm not
stars.
Affected by Woo! The audience. But when I saw this at a preview screening, the first time Godzilla appeared, it was like when Rocky appears in the Creed movies. Mm. Everyone applauded like crazy. And I'm like, are we applauding for the big lizard or the three-headed dragon or the moth or, you know? So, you know, I think, first of all, it's going to do very well. And internationally, of course, Godzilla, who originated in Japan, the whole backstory is he was this giant creature and radiation test, you know, H-bomb test, gave him this super strength. I think it's a disaster.
Right.
And all the actors in there spend the whole time just looking up at a green screen going, that's not possible. And it's like, well, you know it's possible. You're in a Godzilla movie.
Do you have to see the other Godzilla movies in order to appreciate this
one? I think you'll be okay with this one. That is the... There we go.
But you know, it's nice you can kind of fall asleep during these movies, right? You can sort of... You just sort of get it if you're just sort of half there. Like,
We were interviewing somebody in the movie so he could have just sat and got kicked out of the junk. That's the question of the year.
Write that one down. You can use it.
Is this a standalone, Richard? Or like,
is this a standalone? The questions you'd love to ask, well, you got to get kind of serious.
That's fantastic.
All right, so Godzilla gets 1.5 stars. Yes. Do not see that unless your 13-year-old nephew, in my case, will drag me to see it. Two stars for The Tomorrow Man,
yes,
which is disappointing really for me. And then you got to go see the Elton John movie, you're saying, the Rocket Man.
Yeah.
All right.
There you have it.
And we are, you know, we've got a lot trending this afternoon, a lot of breaking news.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you wonder, if you're looking at your phone, you say, okay, why is R. Kelly, Ed Burke, and Jussie Smollett all trending this afternoon?
Because like
major news.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Oh, major news has happened on all fronts, and it ain't good. R. Kelly, new indictments. Ed Burke, new indictments. And then Jussie Smollett, of course, those 400-plus files, police files, were released, trying to shed some light. So we've been looking through all of that. We're going to have John Seidel from the Tribune talking about Alderman Burke and what's in that indictment. For his part, he's saying he never abused his position and everything in the indictment, simply not true, but a lot's in it. Mm-hmm. And he's going to break it down for us what exactly we should know about that. Coming up, the stories that matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. And Rich, you're going to stick around, right? And so we've got Justin and Rich and that.
I actually have to go off to another adventure, which we can make fun of tomorrow.
Uh-oh.
On the show, and I'll let
can you
know.
Give us a hint of what it is?
I'll be singing on stage in Chicago. That's all I can say right now. So I apologize.
Can we get a recording of that? Are you able to get video and audio?
Why?
We have to get that.
Only, yes. It's not quite as going to be up there with our Game of Thrones song, but no. But yes, fine. I'll see if I get some audio.
Will you please? We'd like to hear
no,
that
I'm just going to play you Taron Egerton.
We'll know the difference. Plus, you have a great interview tomorrow that we should tease
with Bryce
again.
Dallas Howard. Yeah, and you know, for one tomorrow, there's a couple other there's some TV offerings we can talk about too.
What do you mean
for tomorrow's show? Oh. We can talk about Big Little Lies is coming back to HBO.
Oh, I love that! Yes. I'm so excited
about
that.
I can give you a little sneak preview of season two. They added a new cast member, a kid looking for a break by the name of Meryl Streep.
She's in it now. I love that. It's such a guilty pleasure. Okay, so that and more on Richard Roper returns tomorrow for the show as Roe will
see
be
you, Justin,
off.
Sienna.
See you later. Thank you for that. WGN Radio wants to send you on a Blackhawks getaway for two in Europe. Listen to Win Your Way to Pucks and Prague weekday mornings at 7:40 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news, it is sponsored by, well, it's just sponsored, not sponsored, actually. It's 6 o'clock. Here's Kim Gordon.